Enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
Hi, I'm Moxie Rosenbloom. My dad, Harry Rosenbloom, hosts Feast Your Ears on Heritage Radio Network. Right now, HRN is having a summer membership drive. Becoming a member is so easy, and you'll help support shows like my dad's. You can sign up for a one-time donation or become a monthly sustaining member by visiting heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Let's keep food radio on the airwaves this summer.
Listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. So today is the week of Independence Day. July 4th is coming right up. It's actually in the middle of the week, so it's a little awkward timing, but hopefully everyone will get to spend some time with their friends and family over some delicious food that they're cooking up. It's also a little bit of an awkward time in our country's history right now, talking about the immigrant journey, and all the pitfalls that we're seeing in the news and all the legal red tape that we keep hearing about. It's a good time to talk about what freedom means and what our country stands for, and also what the American dream can look like. I'm really, really honored to be talking with a successful, incredible restaurateur and chef and now cookbook author, and I really love this cookbook. It is called Turnip Greens and Tortillas, A Mexican Chef Spices Up the Southern Kitchen. He is a self-professed born-again Southern boy, and he is Chef Eddie Hernandez joining me on the line from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Eddie, are you there?
Hi, how you doing, Kathy?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you're based in Atlanta now, but you've lived in Texas, and you have also Taqueria del Sol, which I forgot to mention, is the name of your business, and you have 7 locations throughout the South, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's an amazing story, and I just love that your cookbook is all about mixing influences from Southern food and Mexico in delicious ways. So, so tell me a little bit about, you came to America wanting to be a rock and roll musician. So big dreams there.
Yes.
But you found yourself working as a dishwasher in a restaurant that did Tex-Mex. Was that the style of food? What was that like for you? Did it feel like you were... What were you hoping to achieve now that, maybe the rock and roll dream looked a little far?
Well, I mean, it's something that I talk to a lot of people about whenever I do interviews or stuff like that. Because, everybody comes to America with this idea of this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to whatever country I came from and be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work out that way most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes, we end up staying here and not going back to where we came from. But what we failed to do is to integrate, become part of society, part of the country. And I understood that from the beginning, that I needed to learn the language in order to communicate. And that will open the doors for me to excel. And I did. I worked really hard. I really wanted to be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my dream, my goal. I figured that I would get to travel the world, as a musician. Unfortunately, it did not work out.
Yeah.
So I started doing other things. I worked, gardening and washing dishes, Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I always understood is that you can learn. Mm-hmm. It's called desire for me. You have to have the desire to excel. Without that, you're just going to be part of the labor force. So I always try to learn what I'm doing and move up the ladder. And that's why the language was so important to me.
Mm-hmm. So learning English.
You know, yeah. I learned the language, and I was able to move up the ladder. And I was blessed to meet my partner, Mike Lank. Mm-hmm. And we've been working together 30 years, and he understood what I wanted to do, and he was able to put everything together for us to be successful.
It's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I love, you pepper the book with these fun personal essays that show a really generous, inclusive, and just a big-hearted sort of open spirit throughout. You write in one section, working for a large Tex-Mex chain catering to gringos helped me realize that I wanted to be part of a bigger society, or if I wanted to be part of a bigger society, I would need to be open to everything. And you go on to describe their versions of tacos and enchiladas as different as what you had in Mexico, not better, not worse, just different.
That's correct.
And then you began to incorporate flavors on your own. But I really also love that you include in this passage how when you were trying to learn English, you wanted to ask a girl out, but you could only say her name. So you said, Cindy.
that's a great story, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Cindy, her name was Cindy.
Yeah.
It's Cindy. And I guess she liked me as much as I like her. And we just can communicate.
Oh, no.
We end up going to a drive-in. And there was a lot of, okay, yes, and again, because I couldn't communicate. And that drove me to try harder to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understood that if I needed brakes for my car, I wanted to go over there and say, I need some new brakes.
Uh-huh.
And not having to take somebody or ask somebody. I don't mind asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
I never have. But first, I want to try to do it myself. And if I can, then I will ask for help.
Right.
But I was not going to ask help to somebody to go with me to a movie with a girl so he can translate for me.
That's a great incentive. So the first date didn't go quite as planned, but
no,
maybe
that was it.
That
actually,
was
the only date.
One shot. All right. Well, that's a good incentive, if any, to get learning. Okay, Eddie. Now that you're boss, do you see yourself as playing a role in sort of helping elevate all sorts of people in the back of the house, in every position at your restaurant, sort of find their footing?
Exactly. I mean, you have to understand, back in the 70s and 80s, restaurants were not very open about teaching people.
Mm.
They were so afraid that you will steal the knowledge.
Ooh.
And then you will
Secret,
be successful.
Yeah.
And then, they will have competition. What a lot of people fail to understand is, like me myself, I welcome competition. I want people to be successful because it opens the market.
Right.
So when I started to work as an owner with Mike, the one thing that I committed myself was to teach and to encourage people to be successful. I fired people to get them away from me so that they can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
They were too good employees and too good of a chefs that I would hold them back because they will always be Eddie's helpers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them to be successful. Some of them owned their own business, became to be great chefs, good musicians, And I earned the respect from them. They understood that I was doing everything for them.
Right.
I was already successful.
Yeah.
But I wanted more successful people with me.
Yeah, to join you. That's really great. And so it sounds like it must have been very unlikely that you were promoted from dishwasher to line cook during the time that you were. It sounds like that's not as common to happen.
No, I mean, it's you have to, I think it's a give and take, you know. I mean, we are different because we're from two different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But we can always work together if we want to work together. But there's a lot of people who are not willing to share. Mm-hmm. And there's, to me, those are insecure people that don't believe on their skills. I'm a very secure man. Okay. I don't shy away from nothing. Mm-hmm. I try to learn better myself every day. But I also want everybody else around me to get better.
Yeah.
And be more successful. And that creates a bigger market.
Yes. It's better for everyone. It's a win-win.
Yes.
That's a great attitude. So how does this, because it seems like this is a theme throughout your book of, you know, mixing and blending and just being open to things. So tell me. Oh, yeah.
I've been getting some grief about that.
Some what about that? No, about the,
well,
the
because
food?
I've never been shy. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, I grew up in the business. I was a musician, so I learned not to be shy. So I say things that a lot of people want to say, and they don't. You know, it's like, I don't claim to be an original chef from Mexico.
Yeah.
I am different.
Yeah. I love that, you know. Yeah, and there was a wonderful New York Times profile with you a couple months ago in April, where you said, you know, that, you know, you sort of eschew tradition or authenticity when it comes to food. And you said the country is irrelevant. It's what's available and what you can do with it in terms of food and ingredients.
Yes, I mean, and it's true. It doesn't, you know, there's a lot of American people who live in England, and they do hamburgers over there. Or those are original hamburgers? No, they're not. Because they have to use the ingredients that they have over there. You know, I mean, they have different ethnic people living in every country in the world. That doesn't make them original over there. Mm-hmm. They make them unique, different. That's what people want. They want to taste something different. We all know what a hamburger tastes like. You know, you can put all kinds of things on it, but if you can make one that is different, then people will like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I make food that is different with an identity. Mm-hmm. You know it's a Southern dish, but it ain't like the Southern dish your mama used to make. This one is different.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the market.
And I love the delicious mixes you have, you know, just like Southern fried chicken and a taco. I mean,
yes. You
can't go wrong there. And tell me about your famous turnip greens. So this is a vegetable you were not familiar with at first, right?
No, not at all. I didn't even know what it was. I had to ask Mike about it. But it was one of those things that actually identifies what the book is all about. Mm-hmm. Here's a mundane ingredient that everybody loves to hate, but cannot live without it. So they don't like the fact that it's bitter,
okay,
or too vinegar, too spicy, it's this and that. I came around in the 1990s with this recipe that was not bitter,
mm-hmm,
not too spicy, not too vinegar, and it had flavor. You can drink the broth. And it caught everybody by surprise.
Yeah.
Until this day, it's been on our menu for 30 years, and people just can't get enough.
Wow. And for turnip greens, that's a big accomplishment, as you're saying. Something that everyone loves to hate. So
yes.
We're going to talk more about some of your recipes and maybe some 4th of July barbecue ideas right after a quick little commercial break. Yeah.
Think think about what it takes to swim a coastline longer than the entire eastern seaboard and leap tall waterfalls in a single bound. What does it take to survive 200 feet deep in icy salt water? What would you be made of? Wild Alaska Seafood is made of tight muscle mass, long chain omega-3s, and incredible micronutrients. It matters where your food comes from. Experience the flavor of the fittest in every bite and enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. Ask for Alaska on the menu, grocery store, or smart device. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
All right, we're back chatting more with Chef Eddie Hernandez. His latest book, or new book, is called Turnip Greens and Tortillas. It is chock full of recipes that are so delicious, your head will be spinning if you have it this 4th of July weekend or whenever, whatever weekend occasion, and because you can't decide what to make from it. So I'm hoping that Eddie can help me decide. First of all, I love that you write, you know, I don't care about expensive cuts. You know, it's about what you can do with the protein or whatever it is. So
yeah, I mean, of course, you know, in Mexico, we cannot afford an expensive cut of meat. We all agree on that, mm-hmm. you know, because of the economic resources available there. But we are really good on creating side dishes for it.
Yeah, I'm down with
that. You know, and that's where we make everything taste good and tasty. And it's also a little different.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I talk about that on the book, about the fact that, yes, go ahead and buy a cheaper cut of meat, but make this wonderful salsa or gravy and make the meat the less important item in the plate. Because now you taste the sauce and you know what the meat is going to taste like.
That's true.
So you key on the side dishes.
Yeah, kill them with the sides. I like that.
Yeah. And actually, that's where most healthy stuff comes from.
It's, totally.
You know, the fresh side dishes.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to fall asleep at a barbecue, too. So, so you have a wonderful steak churrasco with chimichurri sauce. Is that a certain cut, churrasco, or is that the preparation?
Well, it's called churrasco, and it comes from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, it's called carne asada.
Carne asada. Got it.
So I decided to just combine the two concepts of carne asada in the Argentinian sauce, and you call it churrasco. It's something that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come back with a jalapeno chimichurri.
Ooh.
Which so, they don't do in Argentina.
Yeah.
Or Colombia, for that matter, as well.
Huh. No jalapeno.
So then you actually provide a little different.
Yeah.
Mexicanize it a little bit.
I love it. Sounds super refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty of cooking, you know, and I want people at home, you know, to do all this stuff that is different.
Yeah. I love that you have a very different take you have on the barbecued shrimp. So you call it Mexican-style barbecued shrimp. And this is sort of based on the Louisiana-style barbecued shrimp, which is not really barbecued. There's some weird story behind that. But you have whole shrimps with their own, like, briny juices, you know, head-on with plenty of lemons, garlic, serrano chili. Is that the Mexicanized?
Yeah, it's a very common cooking whole shrimp in Mexico is very common.
Mm.
We love to cook shrimp shell long.
With the head, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that too.
In the States, unfortunately, they don't like to do that because it's messy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, and you have to peel the shrimp. But you also, if you think about it, you get all the flavor into the meat of the shrimp if you cook them whole.
Right.
Which they do in Louisiana as well. And Louisiana and Mexico has so much food in common, you know, it's ridiculously.
Now that
I love playing with Cajun food.
Mm-hmm. Cajun. Yeah. There's so much to draw from.
I give advice in the book with shrimp and scallops. And I use the Cajun spices.
I love that. That looks great.
To turn the fried rice from Japan into a Louisiana fried rice.
Mmm.
And that is really good.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to cook.
I can't wait. I'm going to try that. You know, why not? Blackened scallops or bronze scallops here with your shrimp fried rice. It's clever.
Yes.
Okay, so since you're such a fan of, you know, playing around and mixing different influences, tell me, is there any time that you really, really failed and in this mission and came up with something that was just blah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people don't get to see, you know, and I talk about that.
Yeah.
You have to try things. You're not going to be successful all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is not to give up.
Yeah.
You know, learn whatever went wrong,
mm-hmm.
and then fix it. Give it another shot. And if it doesn't work, then move on. It's because it's not going to work. I'm pretty blessed because I basically can create recipes in my head. Mm-hmm. I know flavor, so I know what's going to work and what's not going to work now. It wasn't the case 20 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I made this salsa, and I'll tell you a story. It was a very awful fake sauce.
Okay.
But me, being the kind of nice guy say I am, I called my partner Mike, and I say, Mike, try this sauce. So he tried it. He spit it out.
Oh, no.
And he says, this is awful. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I guess it is awful. He says, did you taste it? And I said, yeah. And did you thought it was good? And I said, oh, no, I thought it was awful. He says, so why did you give it to me then? I said, I wanted to make sure it was awful.
Sometimes you need a second opinion.
You are an idiot.
I love that.
But so sometimes, you know, things don't work out. That sauce has never been on our menu, ever.
No.
I did learn that.
Yeah.
Not to work with this stuff.
So help me to not make that mistake. What was in it? What was so bad about it?
It was just, you don't cook things the way I did it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's things that you can cook and you can't cook. It's like using raw tomatillos.
Oh.
Well, you could really have to be good at it to make a good salsa with raw tomatillos because they're bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't have this nice taste to it.
They're hard.
Eventually,
yeah.
I was able to make a good salsa with raw tomatillos, which I use from time to time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it took me a little while. I had to understand what the tomatillos were, and now I'm good at it.
Who did you learn to cook
from? You know.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, continue.
Well, no, I was just finishing up with that tomatillos, you know. Sometimes it takes a little while.
Yeah, and take a few failed efforts, too. So, Eddie, who did you learn to cook from? Did you go to culinary school? Did you just keep tinkering on your own?
No, I mean, I got really good pointers from my grandma,
mm-hmm.
and my mom. You know, I mean, they like any other house, except my grandmother was a good, successful businesswoman and who knew how to cook really well. And, you know, she's the one that got me started on cooking. Not so much from try to make a living out of my own. She wanted to make sure that I knew how to feed myself.
Oh.
She said, if you learn how to cook, you will always eat what you want to eat. Anytime you want to eat. If you don't, you're going to have to wait for somebody to cook. And they're going to cook what they want to eat.
That's true.
Not what you want. So you're going to have to eat whatever they want. And sometimes you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
So I'll suggest, you know, you learn how to cook and it'll be good for you. And it really dawned on me that she was right. So I learned. I learned as much as I could from her, you know.
Then
when I started working in Texas, I knew that I really wanted to move up and not be the dishwasher all my life. So I taught myself how to cook and how to run a line. And eventually I became the manager of the restaurant. But I went through all the steps, you know. So
yeah.
By the time I was a manager, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do.
It's a fantastically well-done American dream, if I've heard of any. And I love your grandmother's advice because, you know, it's a survival skill, cooking, but it's also a personal satisfaction skill as well. So you're going to have to eat other people's food.
I did a piece with CNN for Latin America. And I am very, very hard on the people from Latin America because everybody comes to the United States with this thing on their head. And then when it doesn't work out, they don't prepare themselves for whatever is available. So I always say, listen, learn the language.
Learn. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that will open the door to better opportunities. But you also have to learn a trade. When you come to a restaurant and you start as a dishwasher, a skill are really good. People go to the CIA in New York and pay tens of thousands of dollars to learn how to chop. I'm paying you money to learn how to chop.
Yeah.
Don't waste my time.
Absolutely.
But don't waste your time either.
Yeah.
So take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you by people who want to teach you a skill.
Yeah.
And they don't. They just want to come in, clock out, and collect a check when it's done.
Well, that's,
they don't learn.
Sound advice indeed, and a very exemplary tale that you have to show for it. So I think that's a perfect note to end on. And as it looks like we're about out of time, but I hope that, you know, your message comes across far and is empowering and hopefully exciting and motivating for so many out there.
That's the one thing you really want to make people better all the time. And on the with the book, I want people at home to have options and how to create good food at a minimal cost, at a minimal amount of time. Nobody wants to make a sausage 3 days or 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know, when you're hungry, you want to eat now.
Yeah.
So the book is actually centered that way for people to get the most out of their money, you know, and create enough food for everybody and have a good time, you know?
I couldn't agree more. I can't recommend this book enough. I really mean this is like one of the best books I've seen this year, last year. So I love this attitude.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I can't wait to not spend a fortune, hopefully, on meat coming up. And I hope everyone else gets their hand on it and learns some few things, too. So thank
Give
you.
Give it a shot. You
yeah,
like it.
I know. I will. All right. Well, thank you so much, Eddie.
Thanks, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Chef. And thanks, everyone at Heritage.
It was my pleasure.
Excellent. And do check out Turnip Greens and Tortillas just out from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And we'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Oh, I like the way you do. Whoa, the way you took it so slow.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.